Good morning and welcome to Asbury. We are so excited that you are here. Let's stand and worship together. This first song we learned a couple of weeks ago during Pentecost is called Spirit Move. I love the words to this. It's not the most rocking song to start with, but the kids are going to rock your socks off here in a little bit, so I thought we would get a little more worshipful right now.
I feel in my bones you're about to move. I feel it in the wind you're about to ride in. You said that you would pour your spirit out. You said that you would fall on sons and daughters. So come.
Come and home on through. Spirit, move. We're ready for you. So come.
You guys can have a seat.
Hello. Oh, there we are. We finally know where Miss Laura's voice is. We had an amazing week at Rolling River Rampage this last week. So the kids want to tell you about what they learned about, and then they have a special song to show you.
On day one, we heard the story about Jesus calling the disciples from Matthew 4:18 through 25. We learned that the disciples were to take what they knew of an ordinary life and turn it into an extraordinary adventure by following him. In the same way, we decided to follow Jesus. We are embarking on an adventure of a lifetime.
On day two, we heard a story of how Jesus accepts Mary and Martha from Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. There was a time when Jesus visited two sisters who each had her own way of appreciating Jesus. One of them got distracted by what she thought her sister should be doing. Jesus stepped in with a message of love and acceptance.
On day three, we heard the story of when Jesus walks with Zacchaeus from Luke chapter 19, verse 1 through 10. We learned about a man who had a beautiful transformation just like a butterfly, all because of meeting and making friends with Jesus. When we have a relationship with Jesus, it transforms our lives too.
On day four, we heard the story of Jesus sharing a special meal with his friends from Luke 22, 14 through 20. Jesus was on his way to the most important week and task of his life, yet he purposely set aside time with his friends to rest and remember all God has done for them. Jesus calls us to rest and remember too, to focus on what is truly important and to let God fill us with all that we need.
On day five, we learned about Jesus making a promise from Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Jesus gave the disciples a big job, but he also gave them peace with his promise to always be with them. Jesus promises to always be with us too, and that promise gives us strength, power to do extraordinary things and to invite others with us on a great adventure.
We'll be right back. I believe they would have done an encore if he asked for one.
Oh.
We had a wonderful vacation Bible school. Amen. I'm telling you, it was just full of life and love and laughter and children and wonderful, good-hearted adults leading them so beautifully. So thanks to Miss Laura and all of her team members and all the children and all the parents that allowed us to have their children this past week for Vacation Bible School. We have some other things that we want to lift up to the congregation. Of course, if you haven't had a chance to have your car washed, our youth are out there today, and they are washing cars to raise money for missions that they're already beginning to do. They just came back from San Antonio on a mission trip. We've got OMP coming up. Our youth are always alive in the love of Christ. We have several things coming up. I hope that you're beginning to mark your calendars. This is a wonderful event. It's a new event. We're going to have a patriotic cantata on July the 2nd at 10 o'clock. And we're going to have dinner on the grounds. And this is going to be an outreach to our community. A wonderful chicken dinner on the grounds. Of course, if it's too hot, it'll be in the grounds inside. And so, anyway, but I do hope that if you're in town, say it's raining and your late plans have kind of gotten spoiled, that you'll come and be sure and invite some people from your neighborhood. We're going to have signs, too, that we're going to ask different people to put out in their neighborhood to remind them about this wonderful event. Diana is working very, very hard. There's going to be an actual snare drum and piccolo, so, you know, representative of the fife and drum corps, and just some wonderful, wonderful voices lifted up. And I cannot think of a greater time in the life of our world and in the life of our nation in which we need to thank God for our freedom. So I do hope that you will make 10 o'clock, July the 2nd, Sunday, in your heart and on your calendars to be here. Let's be sure and pass the peace of Christ to one another as you also sign your attendance. And then following that, I'm going to ask you to be seated because Sean McNerland's got a wonderful surprise to visit with us about. So why don't you pass the peace of Christ? If we could sit down then and give Sean our attention. Thank you.
Good morning, Asbury, and happy Father's Day to all of our fathers. We've got a few events coming up, and the stewardship team, we met last week. We went over several things, and we've got some great ideas that we wanted to share with you. The first one coming up is, do you think you have a cute baby, or were you a cute baby when you were little? We're going to have our own Asbury Cutest Baby Contest, and there's no age limit on the picture. But you can only enter one picture, okay? So everybody, just one picture. I know you've probably got 10,000 of your babies, but just one picture. And we want a picture to be at least 2 years or younger. So get through your scrapbooks, look on your digital file folder at home, and see what you can come up with. The contest is going to start July 16th and conclude on August the 13th. And we'll have it in the back. We'll have signs posted. And what we're going to do is basically we'll have jars. The photos will be numbered. And you are going to vote through donation on the cutest baby. And in doing so, this will help raise money through our stewardship campaign. And we're also going to be given a special prize for the cutest baby. Excuse me. Number two, save the date, October 15th. Hog on the Hill has been placed on the calendar here at Asbury. And as in the past couple years, there's going to be the barbecue cook-off, best dessert, live band, kids activity, pumpkin patch, auction, so much more. We will start recruiting volunteers in the next several weeks. And consider helping us with this great event that helps our church, our community, and our extended churches. Number three, this is a brand new event that we're trying this year. It's going to be called Teas and Trees. And thanks to Mary, we just got back and forth on this title, and it came out. I mean, it was just a blessing. And so this event will be open to our congregation. If you have family or friends that are retailers that would like to come in and set up a booth and sell their wares or, you know, their crafts or whatever they artwork, whatever they may do, we're going to be having booths set up around the sanctuary in here, in the WAC. We're going to also be having special tables. One of the things to consider is to look at your Sunday school or individually and consider decorating a tree. It can be a small tree, it can be a big tree. We're going to be selling those items. So table decorations, we're going to be selling those items. So we're hoping to raise money from this again to help our community and our church. And I want to share a story. About 13 years ago, Mike and I were looking for a church. We were looking for that happy medium, and we were looking for that special place, and we were invited by Danny and Lisa Burgess. We found ourselves coming back as we found that this church is what we were looking for. Asbury may be a little smaller than other churches, but personally, I find that this church and its member family home. We open our doors to our community for services, vacation Bible school, special events, and so much more. And I hope that you will join me in the continuation of the many great events that helps to fund our church and our community. And I found this while searching last night because it is Father's Day. And this is a poem that was written by Susan Kramer. And for all you dads out there, fathers young, fathers old, remembering good times are our gold. Value earned through guidance given, helping us go forth in living. Each father adding to our trove, a treasure chest of love untold. Remembering fathers in our lives, taking time to realize. Fatherly love brings wealth to the living. Remembering this, we go forth in giving. Fathers young, fathers old, we remember you all as life unfolds. I pray that you will continue in this great stewardship moment, and we look forward to having some wonderful events this year. And as we go into prayer, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the perfect Father and an example of a Father's love. Today, we honor and bless your name. In your holiness, we pray. Thank you.
King of glory, the King above all kings, who rules in day. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
children to come forward, and I'd like to visit with them for just a bit.
Some fun children's moments. They're all worn out after their world tour. Singing that song all morning.
I'll just have a seat. You want to join us over here?
There you go.
It's so good to see all of you, and I was so happy to see you and your happy faces during Bible school. Do you wish every week was Bible school?
Yes.
Yeah, that would be fun. I know the parents and the adults would love that. Yeah. Oh, well, that's wonderful. It gives you something to look forward to the next summer. So, but today we've got something to look forward to. What is today?
Sunday,
and it is Father's Day. Exactly. Did you get your father just a little something to thank him for being a good dad?
Me.
Okay, why don't you tell me some of the things that you gave? Okay.
I gave him a card and one of my Pokemon cards, and I also gave him the picture frame we made.
Oh, wonderful. A picture and a card, okay. That's wonderful. I know he loved it. Okay.
In our family, we gave our dad a mug that has all three of ours,
Okay, but you gave him a mug and for his coffee. That's great. All the work, the Bible school artwork and such, and the crafts, great, okay. A turtle? Wow. Oh, a ceramic turtle. Okay, yes, ma'am. Let's wrap this up. What you got?
I love to sing and dance.
You love to sing and dance, and I bet that was... And a snack. Okay. Yes, ma'am. One last one. A card.
I gave mine.
That's wonderful. Okay, so you all gave something to just say that you love your dad, and that's great. Now, there's one dad that has everything. There's not anything you can go to a store and buy for this one dad. Who do you think that is?
God.
God, that's right. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So, on Father's Day, what do you think God would want as a gift? Love. Perfect answer.
Money?
You know, I don't think they need money in heaven. I'll check that, but I'm not sure. Okay.
People
being nice. What a great gift to give God. Okay. Anybody else?
Me.
Yeah. Okay. Joy. These are wonderful gifts. And God's very favorite book is what? The Bible. And in the Bible, in Deuteronomy 10:12, it says, love the Lord your God and follow his ways. So I'm thinking that that's one of the things that we could do to give God a gift is to obey his word. And you've already said a lot of things that he wants us to do, to love and be kind to other people and to just to share that God is great. And you all are great, and I celebrate you today. Let us go to God in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for our fathers and for their examples, but we're also most of all grateful, God, that you are our Father, and you call each and every one of us your children. So, Lord, today, may we recommit our lives to you and live in a way that shares your love to all. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. You all have a good rest of the afternoon. What a blessing. As we go to our Lord in prayer, I do hope you've had a chance to look through your bulletin and remember those that we want to lift up in prayer today. I want to especially lift up our own Jane Fisher that always attends this service and is with us today in the loss of her dear mother, Dot. And there's many that during this time of year, perhaps they've lost loved ones. Perhaps they are remembering fathers and mothers at this time of year, especially as we remember the gift that our parents are to us. And so sometimes there's sadness, but there's always joy knowing that they are with our Heavenly Father. So let us go to God in prayer. Most loving Father, how wonderful it is to be able to call you Dad. How great it is, oh God, to know that through prayer you hear us and we have a conversation with you. We know that you know our thoughts even before we say them, but it just feels good to talk to you, God. And Father, we know that as with our own earthly parents, there are times that we've disappointed you greatly. There have been times that perhaps we've even got mad at you, didn't understand you, didn't appreciate you, took you for granted. And yet your love is so infinite and so boundless that unlike our own earthly parents, who sometimes just had to bite their tongue, you already knew, God, through the lens of your understanding and compassion, that sometimes we behave the way we do because we just don't know better. Sometimes we behave the way we do because we are unwilling to do the work to be more spiritual, to grow closer. Forgive us, Lord. And if we are feeling that conviction in our heart right now that we are not being as spiritual, not being as kind, not being as compassionate and loving as we should be, may our hearts be convicted to grow and to change in the love of Jesus, your Son, as our example. And Father, this day, we continue to pray for our country. We grieve that something like an outdoor ball game is interrupted with violence. We grieve that an American that travels across the world comes back to us barely alive. We grieve for those who are killed in a fire, a plane crash, car crash, taken suddenly, and we are not prepared to say goodbye. So God, we know that we are not the only ones who grieve, because you are our Father and we first are your children, that your tears flow first and your heart grieves. But through your Son, Jesus Christ, we have a hope that this is not all there is. But yet, while we are here, we have the task and the calling to make this world a better place, one day at a time, one word at a time, one gesture at a time, as we offer the love of Christ. So today we confess of our sins, and we pray for a hope that rekindles our heart to mirror your love today and always. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We are so blessed to be able to have our gifts, as Sean said earlier, support our shared ministries that touch people that perhaps we will never see and touch people right here at home. We have such wonderful ministries, which we celebrate every week, in the gift of the food pantry, and the reading programs, and all the kinds of ways that we reach out, and that you have the opportunity to reach out, and that our gifts that we give every Sunday support. So let us pray. Most gracious God, it is a joy to give these gifts today, knowing that they are just a portion of all that you have blessed us with. But that's all you ask, because you are so generous. So God, may we mirror again your generosity and give with gifts that flow from our hearts to your kingdom work. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
were made to be courageous. We were made to lead the way. We could be the generation that finally breaks the chains. We were made to be courageous. We were made to be courageous. We were warriors on the front line, standing unafraid. But now we're watchers on the sidelines while our families slip away. Where are you, men of courage? You were made for so much more. Let the pounding of our hearts cry, we will serve the Lord. We were made to be courageous, and we're taking back the fight. We were made to be courageous, and it starts with us tonight. The only way we'll ever stand is on our knees with lifted hands. Make us courageous. Lord, make us courageous. This is our resolution, our answer to the call. We will love our wives and children. We refuse to let them fall. We will reignite the power that we bury deep inside. May the watchers become warriors. Let the men of God arise. We were made to be courageous, and we're taking back the fight. We were made to be courageous, and it starts with us tonight. The only way we'll ever stand is on our knees with lifted hands. Make us courageous.
We're continuing today in the series on the Beatitudes, and we've been looking at joy. Today we look at peace. As we see, Matthew 5:9, May the people of God be blessed in this hearing and reading of this one verse in the fifth chapter, the ninth verse. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. On this Father's Day, many of us look to fathers to give us that example of grace and integrity in the home. We discover it's not easy being a Christian today. We are reminded of that on the news. Sometimes we're reminded of that at the workplace. Sometimes we're reminded of that in traffic. Sometimes we're reminded of that even in church. I mean, all around us, you can almost feel the stench and the heat of people who are angry. And they're hurt. And they feel helpless to make a change. And they can't seem to argue without leaving this atmosphere of divisiveness. So we Christians hear Jesus saying, but blessed are you who are peacemakers. Jesus is calling you and me to make a difference and to be peacemakers in a world gone a bit mad. We hear a lot about peace. I know as a child, whenever I would have a friend come over to play Barbies or to play outside, and after a while, we might get in a little tiff or a little fuss, and Mom would call me aside, and she would say, now, go make your peace with so-and-so. Just finished up the Miss Arkansas pageant. And you know the old joke at the pageants that if you just don't know quite what to say during an interview question, just say, I want world peace. And you're good to go. And just a moment ago, we invited one another to pass the peace of Christ to those whom are near in fellowship. So we would understand that peace is both desirable and obtainable. But to share it, certainly we must first understand it. And there's a few misconceptions about peace. The first misconception is peace is not the absence of conflict. No, peace is not to be confused with pacifism. You do not establish peace by going and burying your head in the sand and hoping the conflict will go away. The conflict will not go away by doing that. The conflict will just be delayed and still be there to be resolved later on. Some people practice the peace at any price mentality as if it's a biblical doctrine, and it is not. The one who acts as if everything is great all the time is someone who is not dealing with reality. For life is real and its issues are tough. To resolve them involves change, and change is not always peaceful, as you know. But how fortunate you are when it is. When I came home from my first year, my freshman year of college, came home that summer, it seemed like everything had changed. And I didn't like it. Things were different and they felt differently. My grandmother, who had lived next door my whole life, it really, her home was as much my home as our home. She was much my mother as my grandmother in many ways. And when I came home that summer, a big change had happened. Her health had declined, and she transitioned into the brand new nursing care facility there in town. But what I remember most, beside the sadness that I would no longer be able to run over there and visit with her, what I remember most was the way she made it so easy. She said she didn't want to be a burden to anyone, and she was fine to make it her new home. A more unselfish person I have never met. So what did Jesus mean by being a peacemaker? Its definition, and I love this, remember this, someone who is actively seeking to reconcile people to God and to one another. Actively seeking to reconcile people to God and one another. The word peacemaker obviously comes from two words, peace and maker. And the word in Hebrew of peace means shalom. And it was the practice of the Jews to say shalom when someone entered their presence, and to say shalom when they were leaving their presence. And shalom was a wonderful greeting of sharing God's greatest blessing upon you until we see each other again. Peace. Shalom. And I love the benediction from Aaron in Numbers 6, 24 and 25. In fact, we had to memorize his blessing when we were in United Methodist Youth. And if you know it, say it with me. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. It's important to remember that peace in the Bible never takes place without justice and righteousness. In fact, you really are not practicing peace if it's not also involving justice and righteousness. Make is an interesting word. In Greek, it means to initiate. Action, energy. It's also interesting that Jesus didn't call us to be blessed as peace dreamers, peace hopers, peace talkers. Peace happens intentionally and not by chance. The peacemaker pursues more than the absence of conflict. They are pursuing, again, blessings from God to another. William Barclay says it this way. Peacemakers are people committed to right relationships in every area of life. So when we're hearing about peace talks happening in our world, then we are presuming peaceful negotiations. When we hear of peace walks, then we're hoping that peaceful protests are being made just to deliver a message, not to invoke anger. Anger is fine as a catalyst for change, but certainly we understand anger does not make change. It is never the resolution for the issue. God gave us, in Jesus, the perfect peacemaker. Jesus came to establish peace. His message explained peace. His death purchased peace. His resurrected presence enables you and me to experience and offer peace through the gift of the Holy Spirit. The prophecy of Messiah called him the Prince of Peace. The angels followed up with the messianic prophecy of singing praises at the birth of Christ. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Jesus never ever was with his disciples that he did not say the peace of be with you. May peace be with you. Before he went to the cross, His words were, "Peace be with you." And after his resurrection, his first word to them in the room behind closed doors was, "Peace to you." Jesus' life and mission was all about peace and calling others to follow that way of peace. He paid an enormous price for us to experience peace in our lives. And the Apostle Paul says it this way in Colossians 1. "Through Christ, God was pleased to reconcile everything to himself by making peace through the blood of the cross." Now, there's a certain process for peace. We like process. We're Methodists. We like methodology. So Jesus' words, "Blessed are the peacemakers," gives us hope that we can actually accomplish peace. Peacemaking takes some care, some energy. We have to be careful at this peace thing. I had a creek that ran behind the back of my house growing up. And one thing I learned is when I wanted to play in the creek barefooted, that I better be careful of the rocks because they get a little slimy and slippery. And if I didn't watch it, I might fall. Well, the journey of peace is much the same way. It's necessary. It can be risky. Again, it's necessary. Sometimes we might get a little bruised in the process. Because the sad thing, but the true thing, is peacemaking doesn't always work. And I hate to even share that with you, but I'm not the inventor of that phrase. Listen to Paul's letter to the Romans. He says, "If possible, on your part, live at peace with everyone." That's not a suggestion, that's a command. But thank you, Paul, for putting in that phrase, "if possible." Because sometimes peacemaking does not always have the outcome that we would hope for. Difficult people exist. Shocker. You know anyone difficult in your life? The church has difficult people. Shocker. Some of the meanest people God ever created on this earth live in the church. But some of the greatest people you are ever going to meet, the biggest hearts, the kindest, most compassionate, are in the church. Because the church is made of saints and sinners. All of us are sinners, but there's some that sin a little less. Some are a lot better at it. But the one thing about it is it catches up and has a way of humbling. And humble people are saintly people. The Apostle Paul declared, "God has called you to peace." That doesn't mean we agree with everything. That just means that we're going to need to agree to disagree. The steps to make peace, talk to God. Ask God through His Holy Spirit to convict your heart where you are wrong. And to humble your heart where you are right. And enable your heart and your mind and your mouth to share thoughts with kindness and compassion. Second thing, be courageous and take the first step. Jesus said, if you offer a gift on the altar and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar and go and be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. And later he said, if your brother sins against you, go and deal with him in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. Peacemakers, there's no way around this, are called to take the initiative. So why should you go to someone after they're the ones who hurt you? Why should you go to them? Because Jesus said so. Conflict is never resolved accidentally. Conflict is resolved intentionally. So Jesus says, take the first step and make it personal. Because our relationships are personal. Pick up the phone. Try to have a person-to-person visit if that's possible. Write a heartfelt letter. Do not apologize by text or an email. Hello? Do not do that. The conflict didn't happen that way and will never be resolved that way. Our Christian witness and personal peace depend on it. Tell the other person how you feel is another step. People are not mind readers. And sometimes we inaccurately perceive body language. We think they're thinking this because they did that. It's not always the way it is. Go to the person. Talk to the person. But when you do, remember the wise words of Solomon in Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath. And hear this. Attack the problem, not the person. Sometimes a great way to start the conversation is, I know we've experienced a bit of a rift, a bit of a problem, a bit of tension between us. And I just don't understand. I want to understand because I want us to be solid again. You cannot approach anything much more heartfelt than that. I don't understand. Because we're not the other person. We're not in their mind. We're not in their heart. We don't know what inflicted what, even if we think we do. Help me understand. I care about our relationship. Talk to the person, not about them to someone else. Recently, I had a little bit of a conflict myself going on in my head. And I didn't follow my own advice. I went to a trusted friend and I laid out the scenario. And I said, this is how that made me feel. And they listened. But as I thought about it, you know why I went and talked to them? Was twofold. I needed to hear myself express it to see if I sounded ridiculous. But I also was probably trying to justify why I was feeling the way I was feeling. I didn't follow my own advice. When you talk to another person about another person you're in conflict with, well, you just might as well call that gossip. You need to go to the person that you're having the conflict with. That is a peacemaking step that's very real and very important. And if you go to that person first, hello, there's no reason to go to the other person. Jesus called us a fabulous title. He said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. The daughters of God, if you will. The children of God. To be an heir, a son or a daughter, is to claim the family name. And it's also to claim the family resemblance. So we have been given the title and the designation of carrying on the love and the mission of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ today, a troublemaker can become a peacemaker following the love and the mission of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. We're called to peace through prayer. We're called through peace with heart, intent, and action. But it's like anything else, no one can become a peacemaker unless they are first at peace with themselves. Do you even like yourself? Maybe not every moment. But do you like yourself? Do you love yourself? Are you at peace with yourself? Do you believe you are doing the very best you can to follow the will of God? And if you can answer yes to that question, I would say you probably feel a pretty good degree of peace. But if you're not feeling as if you're following what God wants you to do in your life, then chances are that conflict has got you at a state of unrest and you are not at peace. John Wesley taught us about something very important. He called it prevenient grace. That simply means grace which goes before you. As you pray, pray for the grace of God to go before you have that conversation that you need to have. When you wake up in the morning, pray for that grace to go before you as you go to work out your day. And all that you say and all that you do, ask for the Lord to give you that prevenient grace to protect you, to fill you with His wisdom, to enable you to do what you're called to do. Grace always comes before peace. Grace paves the way for peace. In closing, I just want to offer to you that about 700 years ago, there was a man who was the son of an Italian cloth merchant. And this man was destined to be a knight, have a life of wealth and prosperity, but he chose not to do that. Instead, he donned a ragged cloak, tied it with a rope taken from a scarecrow. And his whole purpose and mission, instead of wealth and prosperity, was going to be the wealth of sharing God's word and preaching and teaching. And history has noted that he was a noble and kind, Christ-like man. You and I know him as Saint Francis of Assisi. Following his death, someone found a prayer of his and translated it to English. I'd like for it to be our benediction today, if you will. Will you say this wonderful prayer with me together? Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, this day we have remembered the words of Jesus. And they're not just words, but they're a calling and a task that we are to go from these doors and be peacemakers in a world that needs peace like never before. Most gracious God, we ask for your grace to go before us, that with peace, the Holy Spirit will anoint our words and our actions, that others will know the love of God by the peace we share, as we recommit ourselves to the example of Christ and share peace in this world. In His holy name, amen. We'd invite the congregation to stand and sing as we have our closing song today. And if there are those here today who would like to unite with this church in any of the ways we receive members, to come forward and profess your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, to renew that profession, or to come forward and to pray, I invite you to do so now as we sing.
Is devoted like a ring of silent gold, like a vow that is tested, like a covenant of old. Your love is enduring through the winter rain, beyond the horizon, with mercy for today. Faithful you yourself to me, and it's
so wonderful to be in worship with you today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Mm-hmm.